Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
Welcome back to the Dog Pod, your home for the Big Ten bound Washington Huskies. We are your original podcast covering the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team by the fans for the fans. I'm with Mitch and Law Dog. Gentlemen, you ready to go? Woo, there we go. All right. Dogs are 3-0 with an absolutely dominant 41-7 road win over Michigan State in East Lansing. This week, we hope it's the Cal Bears. Cal Bears, the other half of the Pacific Coast original conference that would then become the Pac-8, the Pac-10, the Pac-12. We're going to get into all that history. The last home opener ever for UW in the Pac-12 conference. Gentlemen, let's go. All right, Mitch, you made the trip to East Lansing. Let's hear it, Rick Steves. Give me those cliff notes.
All right, so first off, I have been one of the biggest folks that have been upset about the Pac-12 imploding, like to the point where I've been waking up in the middle of the night, talking in my sleep, saying just how sad it is that our conference is going away and all of our history, to the point where my wife is like hitting me in the ribs to say, stop talking about this. You need to stop talking about it at 3 a.m. And me realizing a couple weeks ago that, like, I think I was a little bit depressed about the whole thing. I'm starting to come around, dog fans. We're going to have a lot of fun in the Big Ten. And it's not just because our team is amazing this year. They do sports right in the Midwest. Let's just start there. So Get in Thursday night, all right? Staying at the MGM in downtown Detroit. Go out to some bars in this area called Corktown. Fantastic. Awesome time. Next morning, catch a car. 2-hour drive to East Lansing, having a great time heading down there. Beautiful campus, guys. I think it's about 5,200 acres, if I'm not mistaken. Stanford, for comparison, is about 8,200. So smaller than Stanford's, but very large. Beautiful campus, awesome brick buildings. Think like the quad type of buildings, all that kind of stuff. Awesome setup. We hook up with a great family affair, family tailgate out there with the Grikoviches. Awesome time. They were very hosting. We were basically tailgating in the quad, which was super cool. Tailgates everywhere.
On campus.
Played this game called Stump, which is fantastic, or Hammerschlagen, where basically it's a big stump with a bunch of nails, and you've got to throw a hammer up in the air and catch it and slam other people's nails down. The best part about this is we walk up to these Michigan State fans to play, and they were super cordial. They were super nice. And we start getting into talking about other teams and what do they think, who's cool, who's not. And they told the story about, obviously, Michigan's terrible fans. And the same scenario happened last year or something like that, where these Michigan fans showed up to play the Hammerschlagen game. And they didn't even let them play. They hammered their nails in right away, and then they turned around and had to walk away.
That's awesome.
it was great. Awesome. And so, you know, got the rundown, got the intel. There's some great matchups coming our way. We've talked about Camp Randall, Wisconsin. That came up. Several other matchups they said you can't miss. So then we go into the stadium, and beautiful again. There's a river that runs right through there. The team was just fantastic. Great amount of dog fans in the stadium. The Michigan State fans were super cordial there too. First game ever that they allowed alcohol sales.
Ooh,
the guys around us were like, thank God there's booze here. They were in the booze line all day, missing the game, which was pretty funny. And then obviously we'll talk a little bit about how amazing the dogs were, got to see the team afterwards, and then rolled out of East Lansing with a great feeling. But the story doesn't stop there, because we double dipped and went to the Hawks game on Sunday against the Lions. And I think we're going to have these opportunities, right? Where like the NFL is going to be a little bit more in play on these trips.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was a rockin' stadium as well. They unveiled a Barry Sanders statue outside of the stadium and had him speaking at halftime, which was fantastic. I did not say a peep in my Will Disley jersey in there. I was a quiet fan, but silently fist bumping as we won. And it was a great time. Anyways, guys, fantastic trip. We're going to have more of these in our future. I'm getting more and more excited now about the future of these opportunities and these road trips and experiencing these fan bases moving forward.
I'm excited that Mitch is going to get a full night's rest and stop waking up with these cold sweats about the Pac-12.
Yeah, the difference is, Mitch, I don't ever say a word of this to my wife because I know she'll tell me to shut up. And, and maybe I'm bubbling to myself in my sleep, but nah, you know. But yes, it's been keeping me up too. And I'm glad to hear that other people are suffering as well.
I have one last story. So if any DogPod listeners are out there and we ever meet up at a tailgate or a bar or something, you could bring this up. We somehow found our way into a Lansing bikers bar, which was basically a boarded up house with a private bar. So I want to give a shout out to the Pilgrims out there, which is a biker club. And if anybody ever wants that story, you can hit me up live at a tailgate. Happy to share it with you. So shout out to our Pilgrim homies who were super welcoming after a little bit of breaking the ice.
Oh, that's amazing.
No warrants were served. No warrants were served, Mitch.
All right. You know, I like that. I like that. Sons of Anarchy, East Lansing, and Mitch is out there doing his thing. I love this. Hey, you know, I think you bring up a good point before we get into the football this week is that as much as we are worried about, you know, gosh, man, these great Arizona trips we're going to miss, et cetera, man, I don't know if there's a team in the Big Ten out there. I mean, these that you're not going to have a good time and meet some great fans, and there's a lot of fun to be had for this as fans. All right. So, hey, obviously the Dogs looked amazing. I mean, they just looked incredible. You guys must have been giddy in that stadium. And we're not the only ones noticing. Robert Griffin has Mike Penix as his Heisman frontrunner. Joel Klatt says UW football could be the best of them all. Now, are we ready to jump on this train? Let's talk a little bit about it. I think there's a bull case to be made and there's a bear case for these accolades. How about the bulls, guys? I'm just going to give you a couple, okay? First, number one quarterback in the country from a passing perspective, 1,332 yards, Mike Penix. 46.7 points per game and one sack allowed, the Huskies. Defense, top six in the nation and number one in the Pac-12 in passing efficiency defense. The backups this year, the backups which killed us last year, particularly in the secondary, Cam Fab, Vince Nunley, they look great. They're looking like they can come in. So, like, that to me, a little bit of the bull case. What do you guys think? What's the bull case to be made for Joel Klatt being right?
Well, we could score with anyone and put up points virtually at will. And even though there have been some – actually, the third down numbers are a little bit down this year, right? We're seeing less – or fewer of those being converted. But I mean, just moving the ball, like, receivers wide open on every play, guys. And I mean, that's how it felt on Saturday. Now, we haven't really gotten into the Michigan State psyche and all that was going on with that. And I don't know how great this win is going to look at the end of the year. We'll see. But I think you look right now and say, you got an improved defense. You don't need to be, like we've been saying, you don't need to be death row to have a team that can compete for the CFP with this offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I agree, Law Dog. I mean, a couple things that was obvious live in the stadium. Wide open receivers, 100%. Rome had some pretty amazing contested catches as well, though. Mm-hmm. Like wrestling, like very impressive.
He was a taker.
Also really impressed. Absolutely. And then was also really impressed with Polk. He got fired up. There was that play where the DB kind of was like holding his helmet down, and he got really fired up after that, and he kind of went off. He kind of took over the game. And I think in years past, like if you think about the one that CFP against Alabama, you know, we kind of had Pettis and Jay Ross, but Jay Ross kind of got like shut down a little bit from some of those Alabama DBs, right? Like that is not going to happen, I think, with this. The bull case for me is back to this receiving core is so deep. And if you keep Penix healthy, I think they're a CFP team, guys. Like honestly, watching them, like now the bear case, if you flip it around, BT, is I don't think Michigan State's very good. Like their quarterback was bad. And like this is probably a team that's right on the edge of imploding. We talked about the need for the Dogs to get off on a fast start. They did. They crushed this team, right? Like they were on them from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're right. Let's talk about some of the qualities of the wins. First thing, one more thing I want to say. You talked about the receivers right there. Let me give you some stats. How many Husky receivers do you think are in the top six of the Pac-12?
Well, I got to say three.
Three.
Yeah, three. Rome one, Jalen five, JP six. I mean, that is unreal. Touchdowns. Who leads the Pac-12 in touchdowns?
Jack Westover?
Jack Westover. Jack Westover leads the Pac-12 in touchdowns. I mean, this is just like what do you want? What do you want? I mean, come on. But, you know, at the same time, so if you know, if you're going to make a bull, you know, a bear case for this, I'll give you a little bit. One, you brought it up. Who have we played? This Spartan team might miss a bowl game. There's a chance.
Yeah, they did right? last year.
Oh, they did last year, yeah. And they look like they probably will this year. Boise State's 1-2, and now they're in the middle of Mountain West power rankings, right? Mm-hmm. Tulsa gave up 66 to Oklahoma. So you want to be okay? You want to make a bear case? There you go. Injury bug. I hate to say this, Mateo Mele, our center, out for the year. I don't like having our center out for the year, man. As much as those, get into the Hatchet brothers and Parker Brailsford and everyone stepping in. I don't like having your starting center out for the year. The secondary, that's what killed us last year. Injuries in the secondary. Asa Turner, injured hand. Haven't seen him. Devon Banks, who showed out week one, done for the year. How about this? Not an injury. I would have liked to seen that edge depth and everything we'd love to see about Zach Durfee. I don't know if we get him this year. I don't know.
Yeah,
if
Cam Fab also wasn't on the field.
Cam Fab, they say he's coming. They say he's coming back this week. But that to me is your bear case.
Yeah, well, I agree. What we're talking about is the degree of difficulty. Okay, that's really what we're talking about, and that's why I said a couple weeks ago, right? I have my eyes set on winning this conference. You know, just get through this conference and win it. If you could do that with one loss or fewer losses, especially now that we're 3-0 in the non-con, like then maybe you'll have a chance at that CFP. But really, the degree of difficulty is so extreme, and you know, we haven't even talked about the schedule. We're so backloaded in the schedule. Once we get to USC, let's say we make it there 9-0 and we've beaten Oregon, you turn around and you have Utah at home the next week. That's going to be a brutal stretch. Then you're going to Corvallis. I mean, just those three games right there. Can you really expect to win, you know, all three of them, maybe two of them? So I think we have our work cut out for us here. At the same time, this is a veteran team that came back for this reason. They came back to do this. And their whole team motto this year, us versus us, right? They're not even looking across the field. It's how are we going to be our best on any given day? And I think they have the right mentality. That's a championship mentality. I'm not saying we can get there because, agreed, I don't know that we have the talent and the depth to do it, but we have the championship mentality.
Love it.
Love it.
Well, gentlemen, hey, we start Pac-12 play this week, and we're going to do the whole Pac-12 roundup, but we got to get into the dogs against the Cal Bears. I mean, I just, you can't believe that, like, this is the last Pac-12 opener, home opener for the Huskies. And, you know, just, you know, real quick, obviously we've been playing this team since 1915. The last four games we've played have all been decided by a touchdown or less, and they have been tight. Lifetime 56 wins, 4 ties, and 41 losses to the Cal Bears. But there's a lot more history about that. Professor Lawdog, let's give us a history lesson.
Let's get in the Wayback Machine, BT. I mean, one of the things that I really wanted to do in this last kind of season that we're in the Pac-12 here is to kind of commemorate some of the incredible history of this conference. I mean, we're all going to go away. It would just really make me sad if this was all forgotten, because there's a lot of incredible stories in here, particularly in the first half of the 20th century when the West Coast was truly like a dominant powerhouse in college football. Nobody really talks about that. So this year we're going to look each week we're going to take a little peek inside every team in the Pac-12 and just kind of talk about some of their history and tell their story a little bit. So I promise I'm going to try to do my best not to make this too long, too boring, but I really think this is a fascinating story. Cal in particular, they claim 5 national titles, guys, between 1920 and 1937. And their story is really intertwined with Washington, UW's history, too, and I'll explain that in a sec. But you got to go back all the way to the beginning, before the turn of the 20th century. College football was just getting off the ground in the Ivy League in the Northeast of the United States, right? And all the Ivy League graduates were returning home after college, and they couldn't get their football fix anywhere. So one of these guys, Oscar Schachter Howard from San Francisco, graduated from Harvard, returned home, and realized he needed to get involved in starting creating an organization of football teams into a league similar to what they had in the Ivy League. So in 1886, he's kind of instrumental in getting Cal to form a team, and they play their first game, and they become the first ever college football program on the West Coast. Other universities obviously follow suit. Cal, Washington, Oregon State obviously go to create the PCC in 1916, as you mentioned, BT, the precursor to the Pac-12. But you got to go back to just before that. There were all of these concerns about player safety and gruesome injuries that were going on in the game. And so there were a lot of schools that were shutting down their programs altogether. So Cal, from 1906 to 1914, did not field a football team. And go back to that time, and the powerhouse of the West Coast college football became Washington during that time. Gloomy Gil Dobie, the coach that never lost a game, right? From 1908 to 1916, UW goes 58 wins, zero losses, three ties, 61 games unbeaten in nine seasons, because they were embracing all of those changing rules about player safety that led to the forward pass and things like that. So the team that finally ends Gil Dobie's unbeaten streak in 1919 was the Cal Golden Bears. And this was meaningful enough during this time, right? The Washington-Cal rivalry was meaningful enough that the lyrics to the fight song, "Bow Down to Washington," were first published before the Cal football game in 1915 that you mentioned, BT. And they included these words. This is right off the Washington website. "When we snare the golden bear, you'll never carry it back to California." Those lyrics remained in the fight song all the way into the 1930s, because Cal was the team to beat. So not just on the West Coast, but maybe even the nation. So go back, 1916, the PCC begins. Cal hires Andy Smith, who's probably their greatest coach in their program history. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He led the way for them to build Memorial Stadium, and he brought the team its first national championship in 1920. And from 1920 to 1924, guys, Cal did not lose a football game. Their 49-game unbeaten streak is second only to Washington and Gil Dobie. And in 1920, they march through their schedule. They give up only 14 points the entire season, including a 28-0 shutout over Ohio State in just the seventh ever Rose Bowl. And they're widely considered the consensus national champions. They repeated it next season. They go undefeated, but they tied Washington and Jefferson 0-0 in the eighth Rose Bowl.
Oh, wow.
They still get the national title. And then in 1923, they go into undefeated again. This time they say somebody else can go to the Rose Bowl, and that invitation goes to USC. And a lot of USC fans credit that Rose Bowl with kickstarting their program, right? And then 1923, they go undefeated again, but they defer again to the Rose Bowl, and Washington goes to its first Rose Bowl under Enoch Bagshaw and ties Navy 14-14. Okay.
So 1924. You're saying that the Cal team was so good and they had so many national championships, they're like, we don't feel like going to the Rose Bowl.
Right. No, and the Rose Bowl, was like so special at this time too, because there were no other bowl games. It was like an incredible opportunity, but they were like, it was gentlemanly, Mitch. This is 100 years ago. It was 100 years ago. It's like, no, it's your turn. It's your turn. So they go undefeated for a fifth season in 1924, but they tied twice, including one against Washington and Stanford. That tipped the scales to Stanford. They won the conference. So after Cal winning the conference essentially 4 years in a row with four unbeaten seasons, essentially claiming four national titles, they finally concede to Stanford in 1924. And they never got back to that peak again, right? Obviously, few teams ever have but in a decade under Andy Smith, these are the so-called Cal Wonder teams. Four national titles, putting college football on the West Coast on the map. And then in the 1930s, they kind of have a little rebound. They won the 1938 Rose Bowl and they beat Alabama and they claim a national title, their fifth in that season. But guys, in the 1938 Rose Bowl, this was their last Rose Bowl victory. Wow. They've never won it again. They made it back three more times at the end of the 40s, but they never made it back. And it just breaks my heart to read about this. And there's an excellent book, Dan Brody's excellent book, 66 Years on the California Gridiron, published in 1960. And think about it, in 1960, Cal had been to the Rose Bowl eight times in those 40 seasons. They had won the conference 12 times and they claimed five national titles. So in just 40 seasons. So when we talk about the decline and demise of the once great programs like Minnesota or Nebraska, let us not forget the Golden Bears of California, who did more than anyone to put West Coast college football on the map in those early days.
Wow. Gummy Bear is just saluting right now. He's standing on his coffee table with that. So we basically really need to win this week. I mean, you got to go out on top. I mean, this is the end. Let's do this for Gil Dobie.
Well, and you mentioned the series history, BT. They played relatively even all the way through World War II. The teams were 16, 13, and 3. Cal kind of went on a little streak there in the 50s and 60s. But since 1977, guys, the Huskies are 30-9 in this rivalry, including 19 games in a row during most of our lifetime, 1977 to 2001. Mm-hmm. And it's only in the last few years that this has been close, but really this has been very one-sided in our lifetime. And so the Huskies have got to get this one.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, in our generation, there's been a wacky set of games, right? We had the Lightning game. We had the Joe Jarzynka game. Joe the Toe, when he went off down in Berkeley, right? And had all those returns and then kicked the extra points and a field goal to win it and like all those crazy things.
That stupid 12-10 game with Jake Haener.
Yeah, like there's just been weird shit with this game in our generation, which is fascinating.
All right, so this week Cal is coming into town. 7:30 on ESPN, the 2-1 California Bears against number 8 Washington on ESPN. Lions, UW by 20.5. Okay? Before we give our picks, what do you want to see out of these Huskies?
Well, I'll say more of the same. I mean, I'd love to see them get off to a fast start so we don't have any of this weirdness like we've had in the series in the past. You know, like, let's get the ball first possession. And, like, we'll take the ball and score. Let's do it. Like, get these receivers rolling. Keep Penix healthy. Keep them up. Play two great quarters, hopefully, of Washington football. And, like, be up comfortably so we have no weirdness. I think it's going to be fascinating to see if they can replicate their success on the defensive side. Like, I think we're all expecting that. Can they keep up kind of some of the pressure that they had, that they established last week? Can they build on that? Was last week kind of one of those games that you're building momentum from on the defensive side of the ball as well? So for me, let's just keep Penix clean, let him do what he does well, and I want to see another fast start. My hope is it's like 14-0 by the end of the first quarter, and this team is just on a roll.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that. Look, I think we need to be ready for this defense, though. This is Cal always overachieves on defense, yep. Or at least in this era they do. And this defense, I think, should be very familiar with us. You know, I mean, this is Peter Sermon. He runs basically a defense like Coach Kwiatkowski, right? You know, yep. Big zone to try a lot of zone coverage, try to limit the big play. They love zone blitz package. You got to be ready for that. And they're, you know, I think, you know, ultimately we may have to do a little bit of dink and dunk to get them to open up down deep because they're going to be, you know, prevent it to get against the big play. You know, I think they're
go ahead, BT.
Talk a little bit about the defense and then I'll get into their offense.
Well, I was just going to say that their secondary has been a strength and they are returning three guys from last year's team. And they were really you know, tough. One of the toughest teams we played in the secondary last year because of what you're talking about. They're really trying to limit those big plays. And if we can't run the ball, this is going to be a defense. It's going to be like, okay, fine. We'll dare you to run and we'll put four guys up there to stop the run. And if they could stop us like that, they could keep this to be a low scoring game. The average of these last four games has been about 22 to 20 UW. If you look at those last four. So mm-hmm. to Mitch's fear factor there, if we see some points, I'm going to start feeling better. But if it's another one of these low scoring, like street fights, I'm going to start getting antsy by the time the second half rolls around.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what the defense can do as well. I mean, you've got the new offensive coordinator, Jake Spavital. Basically two quarterbacks. We've seen both of them a bunch. It looks like they're landing on Sam Jackson. And he is a real dual threat. I don't know if we've seen much of that, but I mean a true, true dual threat, which has caused us headaches in the past. So I'm hoping to get, you know, some contain on that. We're going to see our buddy Taj Davis back in Husky mm-hmm. Stadium.
And Jackson Sermon.
And Jackson Sermon yeah. back
as all well. Pac-12 so, linebacker.
Yeah, that's right. Pac-12 linebacker. So I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, but I really want to see, you know, I want to see the Huskies come in and put this team away, just like they've been doing the last 3 weeks. What do you guys think about that line?
I think it's too big, guys. I mean, honestly, I just have this like, God, they always play as tough. I hate to say it. I think we're going to win the game. I think we're going to win it handily, but I think it's going to be somewhere in like the 17 point range. And you know what? I will be so pleased if I am so wrong and I give up another game lead to BT on here, depending on where he's going to go on this. But I think we're going to beat him handily, but they're going to keep it a little closer than what I think those previous games have been. So I'm taking the Bears with the points.
How many games back is Mitch right now?
All right. So BT had a strong week three. He is in the lead. Mitch and I are both two games behind trailing and need to make up some ground here, but we got a long season ahead of us, boys.
Okay.
Yes.
Lodak, how say you, buddy? Close game? Or are we going
to? Yeah. I mean,
three score plus.
How foolish is it looking that I took Tulsa? Well, I did take Tulsa and won by like a point in week two. And then I took Michigan State on the points in week three, which is another reason I'm falling further behind BT. So I'm actually going to go the other way on this. I'm taking UW to cover here. I've been a little bit too reserved on them. And I think that this is the year that they're finally going to put Jackson Sermon in their rearview mirror.
I really hope they do. Originally, when I was looked at this 2 days ago, I was thinking three touchdowns plus maybe 24. The way the weather is looking, temperatures dropping, rain rolling in, I worry that this is going to get a little bit sloppy. Cal loves to run the ball. They love to play control. And so I think it might be a little bit tighter. And so it might be like 17. So I hate to say this, but I think it's dog's win, Cal cover. Put it on the board. All right. So there we got. Before we wrap up, we got to do the Pac-12 roundup. This is a huge week of Pac-12 football. This is crazy. Can you believe? I mean, when was the last time that we had three matchups of six undefeated Pac-12 teams that are all in the top 20?
2000, never.
2000, never. 2000, never before 1999, never. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be crazy. So here we go. The big one that, I mean, of course, everybody's still talking about. Let's start with this. So last week, CU hosted game day and 0-2 Colorado State. Real quick, it was Buffs by 23. Way too freaking close. They took the Buffs to OT. They squeak out. I mean, this is, it amazes me how much they've captured the national attention. They squeak out a win 43-35. They lose Travis Hunter to a late hit. For a few weeks. That's going to be big. Oregon last week hosted 1-2 Hawaii. It was Ducks by 37.5. They would win. They would cover 55-10. So this week, 12:30 on ABC, all eyes are going to be on Eugene. It's number 19, CU, and number 10, Oregon, both undefeated. Oregon owns the lifetime series 15-9, including the last three. Oregon's favored by 21. How say you guys?
I think Oregon's going to cover the points, guys, and here's why. I was reading something where the other day, Oregon's offensive linemen outweigh all of Colorado's, every single player, by 20 pounds. Ooh. That's significant on their D-line. And you take out one of their most dynamic players, I think Oregon's going to cover the points. I think Oregon's going to smoke them. I'm taking Oregon. Taking the Ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but on a big line like that, but with no Hunter And with the Ducks at home, I think this could get away from Colorado. I think the air's coming out of the balloon a little bit with the Buffs. And I'm not saying they won't be back and have a great season, but this is going to be a buzzsaw.
I'm betting on Dion until he gives me a reason not to. I think they cover this. I think it's going to be a closer game. I like them. I like them to keep it close at least through half, and then maybe Oregon pulls out, but I think it's closer to like 17. Give me the Buffs to cover. And I'd love to be wrong, and I'd love to see him win that money line bet. One more matchup at top 25.
BT's taking receipts, Law Dog. BT's taking receipts.
I got to make up some ground. I got to make up some ground on our host here, so I'm not mixing it up.
So one more. This is another matchup at top 25 undefeated teams. Here we go. Last week, UCLA hosted NC Central. No line, but boy, they would finish them off strong. 59-7, six rushing touchdowns from five Bruin running backs, including which former Husky scored a rushing touchdown? Who was it? Oof. Colson Yankoff, former QB.
Running back now.
He's a running back. Scored 51 and a touchdown. Also, our buddies down in Salt Lake, they kept their slate clean with a 31-7 win over Weber State. Still no Cam Rising, but Nate Johnson's a weapon, man. 193 yards passing and 71 rushing. So this week, here you go. Number 22, UCLA at number 11, Utah, 12:30 on Fox. Utah by 4.5.
I like the Utes on this. You know, I think UCLA has been playing well. I think Utah is just so fundamentally sound, and they're going to have a hard time running the ball on them. And quite frankly, I like that new quarterback, and maybe Cam Rising makes an appearance. And if he doesn't, I think they might be okay. Maybe you wait till the maybe second half to see if you really need to bring Rising back. And if they do, it's going to be a jolt, and that place is going to be popping because it's at home. I like Utah at home to cover that spread.
Loddick, how say you?
I just think I've been saying it. I think UCLA is overrated. I'm not buying it here. I think Utah, this is a game where they've been taking care of games like this for the last few years, especially in the last 2 years, and they're going to win this one too. Got the Utes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think if this was Utah by 8 or 9, you might tempt me to go the other side. But I think, look, this is a 2 field goal, 1 touchdown win. I'll take Utah to win and cover. Can you believe this, guys? This is our third battle of undefeateds. I mean, this is just absolutely unreal. How about this? The battle of the Pac-2. Let's see how they fared first. It's the Beavers hosting 2-1 San Diego State last week. Vegas said Beavers by 24.5. They would win, but no cover, 26-9 Beavs. 6 sacks by the Beaver defense. Wazoo hosted 0-2 Northern Colorado, 2 p.m. at Pac-12. No line, but the Cougs would roll. 64-21, Cam Ward throws 4 touchdowns. And even the backup, John Mateer, throws another 2. So here you go. Number 14 Beavs at number 21 Cougs in Pullman, 4 p.m. on Fox. Beavs by 3, says Vegas.
I'm going to stay on the Beavs. You know, they didn't cover last week. I think, you know, they've got a battle-tested quarterback who's played in the ACC, he's played in some big games. Pullman's going to be rocking. That place is going to be raucous. They're going to keep it close. But I think the Beavs are going to be running the ball on a regular basis with Martinez, and they're going to control this game. And I think they're going to put the Cougs away. So give me the Beavs.
Ooh, I'm going to jump in quick. So, Lodog, you can go last on this one. But I think in Pullman, I like what the Cougars are doing. I like them to put up points. I don't know as much about the Beavs. I think they're this class of this top five of the Pac-12. But I don't know about this one pulling it out. Give me the Cougs. I like them to win.
Yeah, I'm actually with Mitch here. I'm not sold on Wazoo quite yet. I know they had a big win against Wisconsin, but I think Oregon State is a little bit more. I just think they're the better team. You put this in Corvallis, I wouldn't be thinking about it so much, but I'm going to, with just 2.5, I think I'll lay that and take the Beavers.
Okay. All right. Now on to some less exciting matchups. Here we go. But it's Arizona last week. They were hosting UTEP. They'd win. They cover 31-10. Jaden Laura, 3 touchdowns. And finally, no picks. There you go, Jaden. The men of Stanford with the biggest stain on the pack. You guys are embarrassing us. Coach Troy Taylor loses to his former team, Sacramento State, 30-23 at home. Wow.
Yikes.
Wow. 2-1 Zona heads to Stanford, 4 p.m. on Pac-12. Vegas says Zona by 12.5.
wow, that line is going more and more toward Arizona too. It's growing, right? Like as the week goes along. I think Stanford is really, really bad, you guys. I think they're terrible. But they're not as bad as ASU, but really bad. I'm going to take Arizona.
This is like, it's like double dog daring me to take Stanford, right? You know, at home on the long grass down there with like eight people in the stands. But I'm going to go with Arizona too. Mitch, we're in lockstep this week.
I hate to say this. I want to be a contrarian, but I don't see it. I would take it if it was Zona by 17. Give me Zona on this one. All right, here you go. Talk about Pac-12 turd bombs. Arizona State. Jaden Rashada out. Trenton Borgé gets knocked out. Bring in Drew Pine. Fumbled in his first play. 29-0. I mean, that might be one of your worst losses ever. To Fresno State. Head coach Dilly Kenningham, as we like to call him, with the quote of the year. I literally can't even explain that's even possible. That's not good. All right. Now they host. Don't worry about it, guys. You're hosting.
Are you sure that wasn't Bear Bryant who said that, BT?
Hold on a sec, BT. That reminds me of the best shirt that I saw at the Lions game. This Lions fan had a shirt on that said, "We sometimes almost win, sometimes almost all the time."
Dude, I need a picture with that guy. That's amazing. Yeah, that might be how Arizona State feels this season. I mean, and look, no short task. You know, their home game in Tempe, they host USC, number 5, USC, 7:30 on Fox. Trojans favored by 33.5.
Dude, I think that line's too low. I mean, that's ridiculous. They're off. They're way off. It should be 40 points. It should be 40 plus. Give me the Trojans all day on that line.
I mean, I hate to say it, Mitch. I'm right with you. I mean, it's really not about the it's really not about the quarterback situation, although that's kind of a dumpster fire. It's just who's going to stop Caleb Williams? Who's going to stop this offense? They're going to put up 50, no problem in this game. I'm going with the Trojans.
Yeah, I want to be the contrarian here, but I would agree. I think if you tempt me with 40, tempt me with 45, but you're not going to tempt me with 33.5. I'm going to take SC to cover this. So there you go. What a freaking weekend of Pac-12 football that's coming up. Again, three matchups of top 20 teams, undefeated teams, the dogs. We're going to try to close out the series with Cal, the end of the Pac-12 series this year with one big win. We got to make it happen. Boys, Mitch, I'm glad you survived the trip to East Lansing, and we got big ones coming up. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba, y hoy los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.